We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield, welcome to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Eagles, Larry Weir.
Welcome to Flight Report. It's where we talk about Eastern Washington University athletics. Each week, I'll talk to coaches, administrators, sometimes players, and even former players. This week on the podcast, we'll hear from Eaglehead football coach Aaron Best and men's basketball head coach Shante Leggins. We want to apologize for the technical difficulties we had at M&D. That's the new movie and dinner complex at Northern Quest Resort and Casino, our home for Eagle football coaches shows. Management decided to move us into a bigger theater, and when they did that, they didn't get it to the IT guys to be able to get an internet connection and a few other things going on in the theater in which they put us. So hopefully all the problems will be worked out when we're back there again next Monday. And that is where we'll be for the rest of the year for football coaches shows. That's at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino. Nothing changes time-wise, 5:30 for film with Coach Best, and the radio programs, which will include Coach Best and player guests, start at 6. Before we get to our interviews this week, let's start out with a game recap from Eastern's dominant win over Southern Utah on the Inferno at Ruse Field last Saturday. The Eagles came into the ball game against Southern Utah, and they'd have to play it without their star quarterback. Gage Gubrud has a lower leg injury and was out of this ball game. That meant Eric Berrier would start his second career game and his first in 2018. And on the first play of the game, it didn't take long for the Eagles to get started.
Berrier on first down, fakes the handoff, wants to throw it deep down the right side, man open. It's caught on the run by Boston inside the 40, inside the 30, and out of bounds. Berrier with a perfect pass.
That drive would be capped by a Sam McPherson 14-yard touchdown run. It was 7-0 in favor of the Eagles. After the Eagles got the ball back, this run set up Eastern's second touchdown of the ball game.
Berrier out of the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off. McPherson slices through, 35-40 up the left side, 45-50. There he goes, 45-40, 35-30. Get him up hard at the 20. He's to the 15, cuts to his right. He's to the 10, and he has just tripped up at the 5-yard line.
That touchdown would come from Antoine Custer Jr., and the Eagles would lead 14-0. After Southern Utah cut the lead to 14-3, the Eagles answered with a field goal and made it 17-3. And then on the ensuing play from scrimmage, The Eagle defense got a big play.
So first and 10, Southern Utah back at their own 16. Off the left hash, shotgun formation. Bad snaps, well, and back inside the five. Fumbles it into the end zone. Ball loose in the end zone. It's going to be recovered in the end zone. Let's see who's got it. Eastern says they have it in the end zone. All their players are jumping up and down saying touchdown, and it is touchdown. Touchdown, Eastern Washington.
Tiuli.
J.T. Tiuli is going to get himself a touchdown for recovering that fumble in the end zone.
Southern Utah would score to make it a 24-10 game, but it didn't take Eric Berrier long to put Eastern back on top by three scores.
And on first down, Berrier wants to throw, pressured, runs up into the pocket, gets to the 15, breaks a tackle, 20, 25, 30, he's loose, 35, 40, up the left side, 45, ooh, got a huge block, cuts to his right, 45, 40, giddy up horse, 30, 25 down the middle of the field, cuts to his left at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, touchdown, Eastern Washington.
Eastern got the ball back with a minute and 11 seconds remaining in the half and drove down the field to the Southern Utah 2-yard line where old Dan Alcabendis would kick a 19-yard field goal, and the Eagles led at the half 34-10. With their first drive in the second half, Berrier ran in for his second rushing touchdown, this one from a yard out to make it 41-10. Then after a defensive stop, Berrier got his first and only touchdown pass of the ball game.
Berrier to throw, looking to the right. Now does throw deep, Simba Webster, he got it, touchdown! Touchdown, Eastern Washington, Simba Webster got separation late.
Antoine Custer Jr. followed with a 13-yard rushing touchdown. The Eagles led it 55-10, and then Southern Utah got a score near the end of the third quarter to make it 55-17. Neither team would score in the fourth quarter, and that was the final, Eastern 55, Southern Utah 17. Even without Gubru, the Eagles rolled up and down the field offensively. They had 380 yards rushing and a total offensive number of 648 in the ballgame. Berrier accounted for 331 yards of total offense and three touchdowns in the game, and Simba Webster had his third 100-yard receiving game of the season. Dehonte Hayes also made a start in the place of the injured Tyson Prunty, and he had 11 total tackles to lead the Eagles on defense. With the win, Eastern moved to 3-0 in Big Sky Conference play, 5-1 overall on the season heading into this Saturday's showdown at Weber State. Eastern is ranked 3rd and 4th in the two major FCS polls, while Weber State is 13th in both. We'll have the pregame show starting at 2 o'clock, and the kickoff will come just after 3 on Saturday along the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield. And that's your game recap of Eastern's 55-17 win over Southern Utah last Saturday. Now let's get to this week's interview with Eagle head football coach Aaron Best.
All right, Coach, coming off a great win over Southern Utah on Saturday, there wasn't a whole lot that went wrong in that ball game. Maybe a red zone turnover and a couple of penalties. But again, like you talked about last week, the penalties were effort penalties. It wasn't personal fouls or jumping offside, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, and we still got to clean some of those parts up. The calls that were called were absolutely offenses by us. We've got to be a little smarter in those situations, especially when they're kind of away from the play or unneeded, you know, such as the reverse where, you know, we're going to outrun the defender regardless of whether we block him or not. And so we'll continue to strive to make things a bit better, more efficient, educate our guys just a touch more. But, yeah, overall I think it was an incredible effort by our team, holding serve at home again. And obviously the points are awesome to have, but it's especially fun when you see the defense get in on the scoring efforts with the recovery in the end zone by JT. So we'll clean up the red zone pieces as far as, you know, turning the ball over early. We got the ball on the bad punt early at the 30-yard line. Two plays later, we put the ball on the ground, give it back to them when we're ready, you know, and intentionally looking to score and get up even earlier and build on the 7-0 lead. But, you know, again, these guys are 18 to 23. They're human. We're trying not to necessarily eliminate mistakes. We're trying to reduce the mistakes as much as we can, because going on the road in any environment, but especially, you know, the Kobe Sky Champ next year, those have to be as reduced as possible to give yourself a chance on the road to be the most efficient we can be.
You know, that defense, Southern Utah is a really good offensive team. They were averaging, they were second in the league, over 480 yards a game. They were putting up 500 yards against Pac-12 conference teams. That defense did a fantastic job, I thought, Saturday.
We did, and I think a few areas that we were very successful in was we matched and even, I think, dictated their tempo a little bit, where we knew they were going to come in and tempo us. We knew they were going to throw some formations at us that we hadn't seen on film based on their bye week coming prior to our game. We knocked their tight end sit route over the top of the center a few times. We knocked the balls down a few times. There's no big plays off of that play that they will squeeze that play as much as you'll allow them to have it. And so when you knock out their top one or two plays, and we are good and look tempos, when those guys were looking at the sidelines motion, we had no offsides penalties in those situations. We hammered that all week with them. We were dialed, we were focused, and we reacted once the ball was snapped in a very violent, efficient manner on defense. And again, three straight weeks, 17 points or under, you're going to give yourself a chance to win a ton of ball games if you can continue that success in terms of points given up on defense.
And the mantra around here always is next man up. Somebody's injured. So obviously the one everybody knows about is on offense with Berrier, but on defense you had Dante Hayes come in replacing Tyson Printy, and all he does is lead the team in tackles.
You know, those are proud moments as a coach, proud moments kind of as a team, to know that when and if those opportunities are given to an individual, a guy like Eric steps up. We know what you guys are going to see, and we've already answered some of those questions before, but it's great to know that other positions do the same thing. Dante Hayes had 11 tackles, led the team in tackles. It's kind of his ball club, kind of his type of game to play in, a team that's going to try to pound the rock, a very aggressive safety, likes to get in the mix, likes to tackle people and thump people. And so it really played into his hands a touch. Those guys were ready. They were prepared. And again, we knew the Gage piece later than probably the Tyson Prunty piece. But the whole week long, Coach Reeder and Coach Schmetting addressed those guys as if they were going to start. And in the event they started, they're going to be successful once the start occurs. And so those are just two of many. Zach Eagle was out this last game, and so we didn't have his services. And so, again, Tololo Limo-Jones played a little bit in the slot. Jason Williams played a little bit more in the slot. And so that's what we've got to continue to develop here, is that competitive depth, and know that we've got to reduce the gap between the starter and the next man up in those situations. And I think last Saturday was a prime example that it didn't look like those guys were backups. It looked like those guys were starters. So kudos to the guys preparing those individuals, and kudos to the individuals for preparing as starters and playing like starters on Saturday.
So the quarterback situation, did you give Eric more reps during the week, knowing that Gage was maybe a 50-50 game time decision?
You know, that's always the case. We're always going to be cautiously optimistic, but we also have to be realistic in the same frame of mind. So he got a majority of the reps. Gage was in tune the entire week as if he was going to prepare to play. But like I said, we didn't get the information, didn't solidify the information until late Thursday night, early Friday morning, as far as what was really going to take place Saturday. So Tyson much in the same manner, where we tried to kind of massage him and get him a chance to get to the gate and play a little bit of ball. As the week progressed, we saw that door closing just a little bit. But we don't want to open any doors too early, but we don't want to close any doors too fast. And so it's kind of that be prepared, you know, for the worst, hope for the best, and understand that something will probably happen in between those two elements. So, yes, we knew that both guys were probably going to play. How much was to be determined. But the fact that neither of those kids played, we didn't prepare for that as far as knowing they weren't going to play any of the snaps on Saturday.
We're seeing this run game again, and you have another fantastic rushing game last Saturday with multiple running backs doing that. But now you've got Berrier, who may be a little bit more mobile than Gage. So how difficult is it to defend a backfield with two guys that can run the ball, and sometimes three, depending on what you have back there?
Yeah, you know, Gage may argue with you as far as the mobility, him versus number three.
I haven't seen Gage take an 85-yard touchdown yet, I'll say that.
He may argue that he could. You may need about 14 blockers to get him in the end zone. But it adds another dimension. You know, when a player hasn't played a ton and he's hungry about the opportunity to get his feet wet in a second start, you know what Eric can do with his arm. He's a very talented individual. He's got a skill set second to none. He's really got the physical element dialed in. It's just a matter of matching up the mental side of things, knowing when to pull the ball, when to read safeties, when to read backers, when to take off in the pocket. And I thought he did a good job both times doing so. One touchdown got called back by a hold on our offensive line. But he did a very good job. And I think the one characteristic that stands out most, and we talked about it post-game, is he's unflappable. I mean, you don't know if someone stole his lunch money or he won the lottery. You know, you just don't. He's always kind of the same guy all the time, which can be very good when things aren't going very good. And so he keeps a steady mind to him. His eyes are always up. His chin is always up. He's always got that smile broom, no matter what the score is or what the day of the week is. And but certainly he adds a different dimension, because he's probably a little bit more giddy to cross the line of scrimmage with the ball in his hands, maybe more than eight. But again, play within the system, you know, do what the coaches have taught you to do, and then make plays when those plays are presented.
How big was the first pass play for him, getting that long completion to Boston that set up the first touchdown?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, whenever you start a game out, it kind of goes back to the central piece, the first game of the year with Simba Webster off an RPO. Whenever you have a big play to start the game out, especially when you have the ball to start the game out on offense, it gets the juices flowing. Everybody loves big plays, but especially a well-designed play, a well-executed play, a very nice touch ball to Andrew, a great job by catching that ball, racking for another 8 or 10 yards to get in plus territory. Those things kind of jumpstart the team, not necessarily the offense, but the team. And so we'll continue to see what defenses do because things will change. Going back to the Jordan West days, I mean, Jordan West was on fire for the first three games. And once more tape was available, guys on defense started doing some different things and dialing in on some things. And so we've got to still stay creative if Eric is the guy going forward. But we've also got to understand we've got to play to Eric's strengths and to our strengths on offense. But anytime you get a big play, especially early in the ball game, that gets the crowd going, gets the announcers going, gets the players going, and it's nice to have those chunk yard plays to know that you're going to be able to have some success in big fashions, also in throughout the course of a game.
All right, so you take care of one of the co-champions from last year, last week in Southern Utah. You get the other one this week in Weber State. This is a ball club that they have a lot of starters back from last year. They've got a lot of good receivers in there. Rashid Shaheed can be a game breaker, both as a receiver and as a kick returner. They've got a freshman running back who's a game breaker, as a rusher, and a punt returner. These guys have talent.
They do, and you forgot to mention the offensive line, who's certainly almost damn near intact from last year. Big physical front, well-coached outfit, got speed at receiver, got a running back that they looks like they've settled on in the freshman. They're still working out their quarterback, you know, piece as far as kind of getting their footing there. And then they have seven senior starters on defense, you know, and they lost a very talented cornerback from last year's bunch, but they're still playing man. They're still in your face. They're still challenging you to say you're not going to get off the line. And if you do get off the line, we're gonna break up balls when we read things at the top of your route. And so our receivers are going to have to be very efficient, very focused in the route running. The timing of balls is different in man versus zone, so there's going to be some lesser windows, if you will, for whoever that quarterback is. And we're going to have to mix up the run. We're going to have to still stay balanced. We're going to have to introduce the RPO game when it's there for us. But they are a very physical bunch. On defense, they fly around. They have playmakers at all three levels. And on offense, they got a line that's intact, tackle to tackle, a run game that's very respected, and receivers that can beat you deep. And so we can't sleep. Numbers are only numbers. Whether they're good or bad, numbers aren't going to win games. Execution is going to win games. And so we've got to bring our A game to Ogden and be prepared for a dogfight, both on offense, defense, and then the tipping point, maybe the special teams piece. And they're highly regarded in the special teams world. They got a game breaker returning both punts and kicks, and he's done a fine job again this year. So he's someone that we know and we need to take care of and make sure our focus is on him, but it's not all on him. We still got to focus on the other 10 individuals on the field.
and protecting the football, because these guys will try to rip it out. They forced a bunch of fumbles. They intercept a lot of passes. I think they're plus +9 in turnover margin in five games.
Yeah, you know, and it was kind of an anomaly last week with both teams. There's 11 turnovers against NAU last week, 6 by NAU and 5 by Weber. So it's kind of characteristic of teams this kind of late in the season, if you will, going into game 7 in a dome, 72 degrees, no wind. So the elements didn't play a factor in that. So that gives a ton of credit to those defenders on Weber. They are ball hawking sons of guns. They will butt you up. First guy in will wrap you. Second guy in will rip at the ball. They will trigger on all passes. They get their hands on a lot of balls. So, and they probably, just looking on film, the other 3 or 4 games they've had, probably should have about 4 or 5 other turnovers forced from a defensive perspective. They rely on their defense to get the ball back in some capacity, whether it's a stop in the red zone or a turnover, and they rely on their special teams to get them good field position, and then they lean on you offensively, run the ball, play action, go up top, and try to lull you to sleep. So a very well-coached bunch. Coach Hill does a tremendous job. He has done a fine job since taking over the team, I believe it was 4 years ago in Ogden. Great man, and it shows on film that his guys have bought into their system.
Does the fact that they lost last Saturday change anything? I've had that asked to me a couple of times. People think that maybe they'll be desperate for this ball game and be even more focused, but I'd argue that if they had won that game last week, they'd still be focused because it would be 2 undefeated teams. So I don't think it changes anything, does it?
Yeah, you know, I think desperate isn't what any well-coached, well-oiled team, that's not a trait of a Jay Hill team. I just don't believe in that. It's not a trap game. Everyone throws the trap game out. NAU's a great opponent. They were on the road. Things didn't go real well. They gave the ball up 5 times on offense. Things just didn't – it wasn't a very clean game from a standpoint of on either side. And so they're probably a touch angrier, knowing that any good team that's highly respected, when you lose a game, that's not a good feeling. And we were there a few weeks ago in Pullman coming back, and we knew we were a good team, but good teams still lose. It's how you bounce back, and I expect these guys to be resilient, and they will give us their best effort on Saturday.
Coach, thanks for the time. Congratulations on a great win last week. Good luck this week.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
The next home football game is Saturday, October 27th at noon against Idaho. It's homecoming on Ruse Field, and tickets are available. Just go online to GoEags.com for more information. The football team is on the road this week at Weber State. It's a matchup of nationally ranked teams, as Eastern's ranked 3rd and 4th in the 2 major FCS polls, while Weber State is ranked 13th in both polls. Our pregame show starts at 2 with kickoff at 3 along the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield. We'll be back at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino Monday for another edition of the Eagle Football Coaches Show with Coach Best and player guests. Film highlights from the Weber State game will be shown at 5:30, with the radio show starting at 6. Also this weekend, the soccer team plays their final home matches of the year as they host Weber State Friday and Idaho State Sunday. The volleyball team is looking for their first conference win as they play Thursday night at Montana and Saturday night at Montana State. And the men's and women's cross-country teams will compete at the Santa Clara Invitational on Saturday.
Welcome back on the Flight Report podcast. Men's basketball coach Shante Leggins joins us now. You are, less than 2 weeks or right around 2 weeks into practice. So how are things going for you so far in the early practices?
It's going pretty good. You know, it's exciting to get the guys out there playing, getting up and down, putting in a lot of you know, our principles, defensive stuff that we didn't get to put in this summer. We just wanted the guys to come up and play and get used to each other. But we're putting a lot of stuff in. We have some really smart young kids, and our older guys are doing a great job leading. So getting out there and being able to compete and see who's going to be fighting for minutes is a lot of fun. And it's been that way since day one. And this group has come together really good, and chemistry is really good. So it's been fun to watch.
And the defensive principles could change a little bit just because you've got a team that might be a little longer and a little more athletic than what you had last year.
Yeah, and we don't have a guy who's going to play 40 minutes. So we'll have a couple guys who get close to in the 30s, but we'll be able to play a little bit different defensively, more of a style that, you know, I wanted to play, especially when I was a player. I loved to pick up the ball full court. So we'll do a lot of that man-to-man and try to get teams sped up and play a lot faster than we did last year. I think we have a lot of depth in positions that we didn't in the past, getting some guys back off of injuries like Luka is really going to help us because he's versatile. He could play any position on the court pretty much, but he's a great ball handler, great passer, and that's going to help Jack. That's going to help Jacob. That's going to help Mason and Jesse. So these guys are going to be, you know, challenged by the younger guys for some minutes, but these older guys have a great chance to come out and show everybody what they can do, and I'm just excited to get these guys out there.
You've got a few injuries you're having to work through right now, but the good news is that all these guys are going to be back this year, and a couple of them are going to be back really early in the year, maybe as early as the start of the year.
Yeah, and that's what really makes this team. That's what's really making me, you know, excited for the season, because we're getting to give guys opportunities and reps that we wouldn't have been able to give if the some of these guys that were hurt were playing. And so as these guys get more reps, that's just helping them with depth as these guys come back. And when they do get back, I'm looking forward to having that depth, having that competition in practice where, you know, we're going to be push each other for minutes, but at the same time we could bring in different teams and different flows throughout the game. It's going to be a lot of fun with the lineups we could throw out there.
Are you kind of already thinking about, okay, I can have a trapping, pressing team with this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy on the floor, and I can run out a shooting team with four or five shooters at the same time, or, you know, varying lineups along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, we can go 6'8 across the board with Luka being, you know, he grew an inch this summer at 6'7, so we can have him at the point guard and go all the way across 6'8, or like you said, we could bring in shooters with, you know, you got Ty Gibson, who's one of the best shooters in Eastern history, Cody Benzel, who's right up there in the top 10. You bring in Stephen Bayo, a kid like Austin Fidel, Jacob Davis, who could really shoot the three. And then now you got, you know, a lot of people didn't get to see him last year because he was a redshirt, but Kim Akins, really, really good shooter at 6'7". And so there's a lot of different lineups we could throw out there, and we're really excited about, you know, what we can do and how we match up against teams in our league.
You know, in the Big Sky Conference at this point in time, the second-place team isn't going to be getting an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. So with the fact that you've had a couple injuries at the start of the year and you won't be full strength maybe, you know, right off the bat with everybody, is the main thing that try to get this team into February and be playing your best basketball when you get into February and March?
Yeah, and I think we did that last year. I thought, you know, we had a couple losses that we should have, you know, we shouldn't have took early in the conference play, you know, and so we ended up getting third place and, you know, fit right in because we were playing our best basketball. We're on an 8 or 9 game winning streak going into that championship game, which no one thought we'd get to in the beginning of the season, but we were playing our best basketball then, and that's when you want to be playing. I want to win the league championship, and I think, you know, winning that Big Sky, you know, league and Big Sky tournament championship is what we're going for, and that's our goal every time we step on the floor. And, you know, when you look at our team and you look at the depth, I know Montana's bringing back a lot of guys. Weber State has a lot of guys that, you know, that are very good. You know, Northern Colorado's bringing back, you know, Jordan Davis and some pieces there, and they had a freshman who could have been freshman of the year, and they had a freshman of the year the year before, or a defensive player of the year. And so the guys are bringing back teams are bringing back players, and I just think that, you know, even though we lost Bogdan, you know, I think our experience with some of these guys, because Luka and Mason started as freshmen, Jacob Davidson started some games, Ty Gibson and Cody's been around the way, and Jesse Hunt's, you know, I think going to get a full year of play. And with the, you know, inflection of our young guys, I'm really excited about what we can do. And so, yeah, we do need to be playing our best basketball towards that time. And, you know, I think the way we get the guys prepared and how we physically push them in the preseason, I think towards the end of the year, that's when we played our best basketball last year, and I think we'll do the same this year.
It's going to be a little different this year than it's been in past years. 4 years ago, you had Tyler Harvey. Then you had McBroom and Vanky Joyce, and then you had Jake Wiley, and then last year you had Bogdan. This year, there's not going to be necessarily that big star, that player of the year candidate in the conference.
Yeah, you know, or one can emerge. You know, there's a couple guys I really think that have the tools, even as being young, to do that. Especially if we're in the place where I think we could be at in the league, they're going to have to really look at our guys. You know, last year, you know, Bogdan was a one man force, but at the same time, when you look at our games, it was always one of those other guys having to step up. With if it be Mason, Jacob, Jesse early in the season, Cody knocking down a bunch of threes. Ty doing it, you know, also shooting a bunch of threes. It was always one other guy with him. You know, this year I think the guys, and they understood their roles. And so this year their roles have changed. We're going to rely on those those guys a little bit more, and I think you're going to get to see one of these guys break out and be one of those players, I think, that, you know, fits the mold of those guys. And we have a couple guys that I'm really excited to see. You know, I also forgot about Jack Perry, you know, our starting point guard last year, who'll be walking into the starting spot again this year as a sophomore. So, you know, there's talent. I think there's some guys on this roster. If we're at where I think we'll be at in league at the end of the season, they're going to have to look at a couple of our guys for first team and MVP. I think we have that kind of talent.
Well, toward the end of the year, Jacob Davison was in double-figure scoring over the last seven or eight games of the year. Mason was an honorable mention all-league guy last year. Jesse was 15-7 or 15-8 in the last four or five games he played before getting hurt. So definitely you're going to have some guys that are approaching that first-team status.
No, very, very much so. And you know, I give a lot of credit to these guys because last year, the way we had to win last year was they all had to pitch in and understand what the game plan was and who the guy was. And it was Bogdan. And, you know, he's the one who kept us moving. So this year is going to be a little different. We're going to have multiple guys. And I believe that we're going to be a much harder team to guard. I think last year we were impossible to guard because no one in the whole college basketball could guard Bogdan one-on-one. So they had to help defensively, and he did a good job of moving the ball. But you know, with these guys, with Jacob, with Mason, with Jesse and Jack and these guys, you haven't seen Luka play, but he's an unbelievable playmaker. And so with those guys, I think there'll be more possessions, a lot more points on the board, I believe. And it's just going to be a lot of fun going out there and seeing them play.
Schedule challenging as always, and I don't know that we've ever had a tougher start than what you've got with Syracuse and Oregon right out of the chute.
No, we have not. Not since I've been here. It's pretty tough. I was hoping we can get Walla Walla snuck in there on the fourth so we can go into the game 1-0 playing Syracuse. But, you know, it's challenging, but it's something that, you know, you get up for. You're excited. The players want to do it. You know, I love these games. I've never played at Syracuse before. Look, getting to coach against Coach Boeheim and Coach Altman is going to be a lot of fun, but at the same time, you're getting to play against two top 25 programs to start off. And it's just something that, you know, players don't forget. And it's a great recruiting tool because we get to be on national TV, you know, playing against these teams. And we go out there and we play with everything we got. And sometimes we can come out victorious, sometimes we don't. But the guys get the experience of playing against, you know, so-called the best players in the country. And, you know, they have an All-American on their team, Syracuse. They bring back all five of their starters from a Sweet 16 team last year. You know, Oregon has the number two or three recruiting class with, you know, the 7'2" phenom, Manute Bol's son. And then we get to play against UW, who's picked second, you know, I believe, or second or first in the league in the conference. And, you know, we get down and play Stanford again. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, playing against those bigger teams really, really let the guys go out there and just play that and have fun. And, you know, it's going to be a challenging schedule. But at the same time, like I said, it's always going to be fun. I'd rather play, you know, those types of games where it's like, you know, you're going into a game and you get to play against a team like Syracuse or a team like Oregon. I'd rather do that than play against, you know, a team like, you know, Georgia State on the road that people don't know about back home, but they're really, really good, and they kick your butt pretty good. And so, you know, playing against a team like Syracuse and Oregon is going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be on national TV. Everyone gets to watch, and I think we'll go out and play some of our best basketball, even though it's going to be early. The guys will have a little nervous and be jittery, but at the same time, it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, and a lot of teams back in the non-conference schedule that you played last year, Washington, Stanford, USF, Seattle. Mm-hmm. That doesn't usually happen either. So what was your thought when you made that schedule?
I'm trying to do my best to play every team in the state of Washington. You know, I'd love to play against Gonzaga. I'd love to play against Washington State. I'd love to play against Seattle and UW every single year if possible. I think it's good for our program. I think it's good for the state, for college basketball. They do it in other states. Philadelphia does it, you know. I don't mind about going to play all those places at their place. I just want to be able to get the chance to go play those teams. And playing USF, we've had a contract with them the last five, 6 years. Coach Hayford set that up, and it's been a lot of fun going down there and being able to play those guys and being able to chance to play Stanford. You know, I hate them, being a Cal guy myself, but being able to play against these guys is a lot of fun, and I'm trying to, you know, play as close to home as possible. You know, Oregon's another one. I want to get Oregon State. I mean, playing in the Northwest is a lot of fun, and it's a lot, you know, where we recruit. And if we can get, you know, Seattle, Gonzaga, Washington State, UW to all play against each other. I mean, those are easy games for us to play in state. And I believe, I think we could all sit down and try to get that going. I think it'd be possible and a lot of fun. And I think the fans and the students of all those schools would think it's a lot of fun also.
Speaking of recruiting, you can't really talk about the verbal commitments that you have at this point in time, but you can talk about how many kids you'd like to take in the fall and whether you'll have any scholarships left when you get done with that.
Well, Bobby on our staff, Coach Forrest, says never count scholarships, Chief. You never know who you're going to get. But we have two guys coming in that I'm really excited about. I think we got a steal of a big man. I think he's probably one of the top three bigs in the state of Washington. He's going to really help us out. And I think we got one of the most highest a high IQ guy that can play multiple positions, kind of like Luca from Australia. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're still recruiting guys because you never know how it goes. You never know how it goes with the transfers and how everything is in college basketball. People just just decide at one point they don't want to be at a certain school and want to go somewhere else. Well, maybe they can get some playing time, but I don't see any of our guys, jumping ship because we have a great bunch of guys. But you got to keep recruiting. And right now we have two guys coming in. We have another guy that our staff calls a unicorn. If we can get him, he'd be amazing to get. 6'9", two guard. No one knows about him. Not that many people. I can't say his name. I never would anyway. But he's really good, and then we're trying to secure that last scholarship and see how it all works out.
Coach, thanks for the time. We look forward to November 6th against Syracuse. But before that, your exhibition game too.
Yeah, we have a couple closed door scrimmages against some close friends. Coach Pribble is going to bring his team out here for a closed door scrimmage. That'll be a lot of fun, and then we'll play against again another former Eagle in Grant Leap, who started his coaching career here also. So we'll play against his teams, and then it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be closed door, so we won't be able to talk about it. But at the same time, it's going to be a lot of fun because I think those teams will be really good in their leagues.
Basketball season tickets are available for both the Eagle men's and women's teams this season. Both schedules feature 15 home games, with the men hosting the Wounded Warrior Classic Sub-Regional in November against Wisconsin Green Bay, Missouri Kansas City, and Morehead State, plus a December matchup against South Dakota State, who played in the NCAA tournament last season. The women's home schedule includes Pac-12 conference opponent Utah, plus Fresno State and regional rival Gonzaga. Both the men's and women's teams play 10 Big Sky Conference home games this season. Season tickets start at just $70 for the men and $40 for the women. For more information, go online to GoEags.com and click on the tickets link. You can listen to the Flight Report in many different ways. You can go to GoEags.com, click on Fan Zone, then on Flight Report with Larry Weir, and listen from there. Or if you're a regular podcast consumer, you can subscribe or just listen through most of the major podcast sites like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, CastBox, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and iHeartRadio. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Flight Report. Thanks to football head coach Aaron Best and men's basketball head coach Shante Leggins. Don't forget, the 3rd and 4th ranked Eagle football team plays at Weber State Saturday. Our pregame show starts at 2 with kickoff just after 3 on the Eagle Radio Network from Learfield. And thanks for listening again this week to Flight Report. I'm Larry Weir.
You've been listening to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.